Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and welcome. Whatever you're listening to it, this is the Thought Police. I'm Mike Graham, you are?
I'm Kevin O'Sullivan.
And we're both a bit fucking hungover, actually.
Yeah, we are.
James Wales do last night, which was rather good, I have to say. I saw a lot of people that I wouldn't have expected to ever be in the same room. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Fucking guy, I mean, he got 300 people to turn. I was thinking about it, but I should have said it in my speech. If I had a party to celebrate my career and maybe getting an honour, I'd be lucky to fill a restaurant table, let alone a restaurant.
Well, do you know, I actually thought that's what we were going to. I thought we'd been invited to a sort of one of those round, big round table dudes where there's maybe 12 people. It was fucking, how many was it? 300 or something?
About that, yeah.
Amazing.
A lot of amazing people in Langer's restaurant. Anyway, we're talking
great
about
fun. We'll come to that. But first, I'm afraid we have to talk about yet another miscreant fucking Tory MP. This one might be better than all the rest of them.
Yes.
So
this is Mark Menzies.
Yeah.
Right. He's the MP for a place called Fylde, which is in Lancashire.
Isn't that sort of near Blackpool?
But, exactly right. Exactly. He's been the MP there since 2010.
Right.
To say he has a checkered history is the understatement of the fucking century. We'll go into that again in a little while. But basically, it has been revealed that he rang his poor old campaign's manager, an old lady of 79 years old,
yes,
at 3:15 in the morning, saying, "Get me $5,000 now because I've been locked in a flat by some bad people."
It's unbelievable. You can't fucking make this shit up. I mean, why can gay MPs not just be like ordinary gay people who have boyfriends, who go out on dates, who fucking sometimes even have partners or sometimes even have husbands? Not Tory MPs, no. They have to troll the fucking internet for fucking weirdos.
Grindr.
Right? Go on Grindr, get fucking blackmailed. This guy gets taken hostage.
Yeah,
right?
I know. And so here's the thing. So Mark Menzies, by the way, we should stress, is denying any wrongdoing and won't comment while the investigation is.
I love that. I can't say anything because there's an investigation.
I would say pretty fucking quickly the investigation will go criminal. The police are going to get involved because basically he needed 6,500 in the end because the ransom price kept going up. This poor old girl, 79 years old, pays it all over. She was repaid not by Mark Menzies but by party funds, by campaign funds. Also, at one point, Mark Menzies took out $14,000 for medical expenses.
Right.
That hasn't been paid back either.
Right.
The guy's been using the Conservative Party funds to fund his own lifestyle, it seems to me.
And it seems like a pretty fucking weird lifestyle, you know, regardless of what he says.
This is the thing, right. So, in 2010,
right,
he was already the MP for Fylde, F-Y-L-D-E, you're interested. Strange place name.
Anyway, like Fylde Coast, I think.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, but I've never heard
of it. I don't
know
why.
I've never heard of it, to be honest with you. But Fylde it is. Anyway, he became, in 2010, he got in the big shit because he was with a Brazilian rent boy. He got caught with a Brazilian rent boy.
Of course he did.
The rent boy goes public and goes to the Sunday Mirror.
Right. Was he accused of buying drugs?
So according to the Sunday Mirror, Menzies was pressurising or getting this rent boy to buy him methadrone.
Fucking hell.
Which is a kind of synthetic speed.
It's like his synthetic heroin.
Speed. But you're thinking of methadone.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, methadrone is a kind of a speed.
Okay.
And it's a very much a chem sex drug.
Okay.
So anyway, he gets nailed for this.
Has
been reselected twice since then. Won all his elections. And is still an MP. Now, if you or
how the fuck does that work?
Yeah, but if you or I, where we were, or anybody where they were in a private company, you've been caught with a rent boy trying to buy illegal drugs for you, you're out the fucking door, aren't you? Is he still a fucking MP?
Well, it seems extraordinary, doesn't it? I mean, this is what the Times reported, right? He rang, as you say, an elderly local party volunteer at 3:15 a.m. in December, saying he was locked in a flat and needed 5,000 quid. That's a matter of life and death, right?
So
the sum then rose to £6,500, and it was paid by his office manager from her personal account and subsequently reimbursed from campaign funds. And then, as you say, $14,000 had previously been transferred to Menzies' personal bank account and used for private medical expenses. His other excuse, apparently, is that he needed the money because he'd gone to somebody's flat and he'd been sick. and therefore he needed the $5,000 for cleaning. Well, that's a pretty fucking good clean, that, isn't it?
That was a hell of a vomit.
Free car. Fuck's sake,
$5,000's yeah. worth of vomit.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the next line should be that the police are involved, because, you know, this is party funds. But
well, also, if he's fucking taking money and paying it under duress, which is a criminal offence in the first place, if somebody's actually forcing him to give them money, that's also a police matter, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And he, yeah, there's all sorts of crimes involved yeah. in this story. But he maintains that he hasn't done anything wrong. But I would say that his parliamentary career is in a bit of trouble.
Right.
By the way, it was about 3 months ago. This story turned up in the Mail on Sunday. I think the Mail, Daily Mail itself. Because I remember I tried to cover it on Talk TV. We did cover it. But it was anonymous.
Okay.
An MP has rung, you know, said he's caught. And the story was that he had no clothes on at the time. he phoned up and said, I'm in the shit, I need $5,000 and I haven't got any clothes on. Right. The Times, brilliantly, has found out who it was.
Right.
And Mark Menzies' career is under a cloud, to say the least. And don't forget, this is just 2 weeks, was it? Is it 2 weeks now? Maybe a week
since
and a half.
Since the Willie Gate episode.
After the Times also revealed that bloke, Rag, what's his name, William Rag?
Willie Rag,
known to his friends as Toe.
Right.
As in Toe Rag. was also fucking around with a rent boy.
What's wrong with them?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what's to say? Why can't they just lead ordinary, normal fucking sex lives? Yeah. Why do they have to be fucking on Grindr and on fucking dating apps, finding fucking blokes and strangers, going to strangers' houses, getting held hostage, taking fucking drugs, calling for money? I mean, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, and William Ragg, of course, he found this date, a bloke, on Grindr, gay dating app. That bloke then blackmailed him and said, oh, he said, no, that's right. He said, could you send me a nice picture of your bollocks, basically? Yeah. So William Ragg very wisely did that. And the rent boy, or the Grindr boy, phoned him up and said, right, I've got this picture of you, I'm going to go fucking public with it unless you give me a load of phone numbers of MPs.
Which he then did.
Which he then did, and then used it to threaten all these MPs.
And he's still in a job, by the way.
Yeah, William Ragg is still there.
I know he's resigned the whip and all the rest of it. He's no longer in the Tory party, but he's still taking taxpayers' fucking money for his, like, whatever it is, £90,000 salary.
As is Mark Menzies.
And I'm presuming they're still claiming expenses. In fact, it'd be good, while we're doing this, I'll have a look and see what Mark Menzies' expenses are, because if he's a Blackpool MP, I would imagine he's probably claiming quite a lot to be in London. For quite a considerable period of time, because this is the bit that people forget. It's all very well when they say, oh, I've resigned from my job with the Tory party. Well, you haven't resigned from your fucking job that pays you $90,000 a year plus a load of expenses, you know?
And a lot of MPs, so they've had 11 Tory MPs have been suspended for various forms of sleaze in this parliament, so since 2019 or whenever it was. Yeah, 2019, wasn't it? All of those MPs, right, or most of those MPs, they're voted in as Tory MPs for these constituencies. When they get kicked out of the Tory party or they have the whip suspended, they stay as an MP. So these constituencies are fucking done out of what they voted for.
Yeah.
They voted for a Conservative MP and they end up with some independent who spends all his time on Grindr, fucking taking methadone or something. You know what I mean?
Well, this guy's obviously claiming monthly rent while he's in London. The monthly rent in question is £1,895.83.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll give you a nice size apartment in London.
Plus,
you know, that's more rent than I fucking pay.
Not forgetting his travel expenses will be massive.
That'll be good. He's got office costs as well, £249.28 for mobile telephone contract. I wonder if he's been on Grindr using that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, office cost, £490. He's paying for an office as well, £492. Yeah, I mean, it just goes on and on. Stationery, £187. Stationery, £190. This is on the same day, right? Tuesday, 31st of October. It's amazing.
Yeah,
here's
really
another one. Tuesday, 31st of October. Different number, £190.80. This is all on the same day. I mean, I suppose he's putting in on the same day, but still. £375 here, there. I mean, these guys are fucking living a life of running. When people say to me, this is why I get so pissed off when people say, oh, you know, the thing is, we should pay MPs more money. Fuck right off. Because not only do they already get 90 grand, They get about fucking, you know, sometimes as much as a couple of hundred thousand in expenses.
Yeah, they employ their wives as their office secretaries and all that.
They're supposed to have stopped all that, but nevertheless, they can find ways of making money for their friends.
Well, they do all right out of it. Yeah. And it's a bit like, why do so many cunts become MPs?
Well, that's a good question.
Is it about, do they become MPs and because of the lifestyle and the privilege become cunts? Or are they cunts before they...
It's the latter. I think it's the latter, because apparently this guy's only previous experience... You know, we always say, it's great, you know, we should always get people in who have done other jobs. You know what his only other job was?
Go on.
He worked in Marks and Spencer's, but not in the office, in the shop. Nothing wrong with working in a shop, but I mean, it's not exactly...
Selling apples.
Yeah, he went through the trainee program or something.
So this is what makes me laugh as well. He did actually have a parliamentary job. A political job.
Right.
He was a trade envoy. Guess for where?
Thailand.
Colombia.
Oh, fuck.
Got a big... loves Colombia. Wonder why. Also, but so...
Cheapest cocaine in the world.
So he's after... So I was thinking maybe rough trade envoy more like. And he's had to quit that job.
Yeah. Also, maybe that's where he met the Brazilian rent boy.
Yeah. Down in South
America. It is amazing, isn't it? That so many of them have this kind of sordid little fucking life going on behind the scenes.
Fucking unbelievable.
They all think nobody's going to find out about it. What the fuck is wrong with them?
Yeah, exactly. Fucking Parliament.
Now, what we should talk about is this woman, Martine Croxall. You know, this BBC...
I like that story, yeah.
Which is really interesting, because, you know, I started reading it today. I went, hang on a minute. And it took me about... It took a good three quarters of the story before they mentioned the one thing that she's famous for, which was being taken off the fucking air...
For laughing about Boris, wasn't it?
Laughing when Boris Johnson... was fired, basically. Yeah. When she said, is it all right to get this excited? Isn't it?
Yeah, is it all right? Is it all right to be pleased about happy about this?
Right.
No, not really if you're supposed to be a neutral BBC presenter.
And now the BBC...
Maxine, what's her name? Maxine?
Croxall, yeah.
Maxine Croxall.
Martine Croxall.
Martine. So Martine is now suing the BBC because she hasn't been on air for a year. So she's suing them for... age and sex discrimination, because she's 55 years old and obviously a woman.
Right.
So she says the BBC is being ageist and sexist about her.
How about she should have lost her job for what she did in the first place?
Yeah, instead and of you, being for fucking, laughing at Boris
instead
Johnson.
Instead of being put on the fucking back burner and paid a load of fucking money to do fuck all, which is what she'd been doing.
And maybe they don't put her on because she's fucking useless or something.
Well, she's only a fucking one of about a million fucking newsreaders.
Yeah, I was looking at the BBC just now, the BBC News Channel, and there's some woman reporter. And I was like, who are all these fucking BBC reporters?
I know.
Millions of them.
Well, how many times do you put on the BBC? I mean, I don't do it very much anymore. But and fucking, they've got somebody new in Washington. That's somebody you've never seen before in fucking Washington.
You see that blind bloke?
He's there, isn't he?
The fat one with the walking stick or something. I mean, fucking hell.
I know. Yeah, he's not...
But here's the fucking thing about the BBC as well that's really pissing me off lately, particularly in Gaza and stuff.
Mm.
You know, because they're all so right on and fucking woke and everything. This is just so ridiculous. They're starting not to send BBC correspondents to cover countries, to live in countries and cover them, which is the traditional system, and it makes sense because you get British people to, I don't know, be based in Brazil or Colombia or whatever, and they give you the British perspective on what's going on in that story. They'll understand what Brits will be interested in and all that. That's what you do. You interpret the world for... So the BBC is more and more is getting rid of that system and just hiring local journalists with strong foreign accents who have no idea no idea how to report a story for Britain.
Right.
It's fucking useless.
Well, here's another great fucking antecedent for you. Ms. Croxall joined the BBC Corporation in 1991 following work experience with her local station BBC Radio Leicester. I mean, and then she's ending up reading the fucking news. I mean, what the fuck?
And also, what is that, 91? So what is that now? 35 years?
Yeah.
Typical BBC. They fucking come out of university, they go into the BBC, usually Oxford.
Work experience, right?
Yeah, and then they go into the BBC and then they stay there for the rest of their careers. The boring little cunts.
Yeah, and they've all declined voluntary redundancy, right? Which is what they're offered. In corporations like that, in many media corporations, people are offered voluntary. They turned that down So now they're suing instead, which will end up costing the BBC more money, which in effect costs us more money.
Yeah.
What about that other fucking story the other week about the amount of money? I think it's 400,000 quid the BBC's paying to educate people's kids. Yeah. In, and people were saying to me, oh, yeah, well, you know, if a bank sends you abroad, they pay for your kids to go to school. Well, that, as may be, this is the BBC. And when I was in newspapers, as you were, if you were sending somebody to a fucking, to a station to be, say, New York correspondent,
yeah.
if they had a wife and kids, you sometimes didn't send them because it was too fucking expensive.
Yeah.
You send somebody single.
And right? this 400 grand was merely for about 20 yeah. people, 20 correspondents. Right. So each kid, it worked out, was it's like 20, 30,000 pounds.
Right.
Now, I mean, if you send someone to Botswana, say you've got to live there for the company, and the local schools are shit or something, I suppose, you know, sure.
Well, no, but why about you send...
But
you
not say, no, 20
you've got, grand. No, but hang on, you've got fucking kids and a wife. How about you don't send them to Botswana, you send somebody single?
Yeah,
and some people would say, well, that's unfair.
That is a good
Well,
idea.
That's not unfair.
It's not.
It's just common sense, it's and it's the, fucking commercial sense as well.
It's the way it is, and I know a lot about this because, you know, as a man of a certain age, well, I've been here my entire life without having children.
Right.
So because I'm a person without children, I've often got the bum shifts.
Yes.
Could you work late
can you
at
work
night?
Christmas
yeah,
and all
can
that.
You do Christmas? You haven't got a family.
Yeah.
So, and I do it because, you know, I want
well, we all
people
do
like you to spend time with your kid.
About,
it's fine. That's the way it should operate. Makes
yeah.
sense.
Or though. You could just do what I did and leave the fucking kids and just go to work anyway. You know, which I always found far better option, to be honest. Yeah. You know.
Fuck the
I
kids.
I mean, I used to get to fucking Monday morning and go, thank fuck, I can get the fuck out of the house. You know, I love my children, but when they're little, they're fucking hard
yeah.
work. You know,
fucking BBC is an absolute disgrace. So let's
they get everything wrong. Don't
yeah, nothing right
they get
at all.
Everything wrong,
and it's useless and biased and God knows what. What fucking Nick Robinson the other
oh,
day?
Oh yeah,
interviewing what the Foreign Secretary Lord Cameron.
Right.
You know, he said, well, you know, what about you know, with Israel murdering
loads of Palestinians?
Murdering Palestinians. Wait a second.
Right.
That's not a neutral statement. That is extremely biased.
Yes.
So, he clearly, somebody said at the BBC, mate, I think you went a bit far there.
Yeah.
So, he put this massive, great
ridiculous explanation, right?
Said, to clarify. Said, and he kept saying, I should have been clearer. No. You were perfectly clear.
Right.
You should not have been biased.
Yeah.
That's what you were.
You
were
not
biased.
Anti-Israeli.
Fucking prejudice.
Absolutely.
Prick.
Fucking ridiculous what they do on that show.
Absolutely.
Today programme is a fucking shambolic mess. Fucking absolute shit show. But let's take a little stop for a moment because we're going to hear from our good friends at Shopify who are sponsoring this podcast. Hey Kev, do you know what that sound is? That sound that goes like... Do you know what it means? That's something that a lot of people have been hearing a lot of just lately. And you can't help but think of money, can you? Because when you hear it, you think like, what's going on? Is everyone else starting some kind of side hustle or becoming their own boss? And you know what they're hearing? They're hearing that sound, ka-ching. It's the sound of yet another sale on Shopify. And it's the all-in-one commerce platform which can start, run, and grow your own business. It's revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. And whether you're selling whatever it is, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a t-shirt, whether it's shoes, whether it's works of art, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow whatever business you've got. It covers all your sales channels from a shopfront ready point of sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. You can use Facebook, you can use Instagram, and you can use TikTok as well. There's all sorts of industry-leading tools and they're ready to just get you growing. Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand, and you don't even have to learn new skills. You don't have to worry about the design. You don't have to worry about the coding. You've got 24/7 help. And with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. All you got to do is have a quick look on it, and you'll be able to see how easy it is to find your way through various different pieces of advice, because you can revolutionize your business with the help of Shopify. It doesn't matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and the control to take your business to the very next level. It's time to get serious about selling, and if you are, get Shopify today. And this is a possibility, because what you can do now is sign up for a £1 a month trial period at shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice, and it's all lowercase, and that is shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice to take your business to the next
level today. Don't forget, it's easy, shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's incredible, isn't it, how the BBC just failed to get anything fucking right.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
You know, we were talking about the Mark Menzies story.
Yeah.
Typical BBC.
Mm.
Their angle is Mark Menzies has denied all these charges.
Yes.
That's not the angle.
Right.
The angle is the fucking story.
Right. This is the thing. I mean, also, I've basically given up watching BBC News. But the other thing I was going to mention to you, I got on a plane once, I think it was a BA flight. To America. They've got their own fucking BA news. You know, forget about the world
BBC,
news.
BBC, yes, fuck.
The BBC do special tailored news for the fucking British Airways flights, right? So they've got, they obviously recorded near where they record somewhere in Broadcasting House, but it's obviously the BBC World studio. But it's all different people.
Uh-huh.
And it's completely different personalities than you've ever seen before. And they just work on the BBC sort of air news. It's fucking ridiculous.
Anyway, should we talk football?
Let's talk football. Yeah, because last week, was just remind people, you were saying that you were going off to West Ham, but you'd only got a ticket in the wrong end. And if they lose, it'll be all right for them. But if you win, it could be a problem.
A good friend of mine is an absolute West Ham fanatic.
Right.
He's now been to, I think he was telling me, 136 games in a row.
Really?
All over the world.
Fucking hell.
He went to Australia.
All those weird European countries.
Yeah, he went to Australia for their close season tour and things like that.
Right.
So he got me, he said, I've got a spare ticket. You want to come? I said, yeah, of course I come. And he's got great seats right by the fucking dugout, right, literally front row seats.
Okay.
So even at West Ham,
that's not bad, is it? You're still quite a long way from the pitch.
Yeah, but because you're in the front row,
it's
great view, lovely, it's really good. Anyway, much to my surprise and delight, Fulham fucking thrashed and beaten 2-0. Yeah. Could have been more. And as I said to you,
the goals actually. You saw they were good goals.
Oh yeah, we played well. And we are good when we try, when we're on form. But anyway, the last time I went, they know who I am. They know I'm a Fulham fan. They sort of go, he's the enemy and all that.
Because
you go to there's a private members bar there called the Berlin Bar, so I get pissed with my West Ham mates before the game. Anyway, last time I went, they were going, Fulham scored in this was 2-3 seasons ago, the first time. We were in the Premiership shortly before getting relegated. But anyway, we scored in about 30 seconds.
Right.
And we were 1-0 up. And the West Ham, and all this kind of stuff. But of course, West Ham went on to win 3-1.
Right.
So we're in the bar afterwards. And they're all going, tough lad, man. Like, they're full of lovely little team. You'll be all right. Well played, though. All sort of magnanimous. Yes.
So as I said
to you, if fucking Fulham win this weekend, I bet they won't be quite so magnanimous.
Right.
Anyway, we fucking swanned it. Absolutely thrashed them. And so I go into the bar afterwards. I'll have a couple of drinks, nothing much. So I was just saying, sorry lads, you caught us on a good day. And they go, we're shit, we've got to get a new manager.
They don't like Moyes.
They're all there. They fucking hate Moyes. They call him the Moyesosaurus. so this is Sunday afternoon, we stay in the bar. So at first I go, no, I'm really sorry, man. I love West Ham, they're my second. We stayed in the bar for 4 hours.
Right.
But after about 2 hours, I go, you useless East End cunts! Fucking crap! You're getting relegated next.
Shades of the international rugby.
It was a bit like that.
I wonder whether that guy's ever fucking turned up again now, the guy that disappeared from fucking the England Ireland game.
Oh, the one who stormed off.
The one who stormed off.
When I took over your role.
Yes.
Pissing off Richard Tice's friend. Which is what we do every time.
Exactly right. I think he does it deliberately. Here's one for you, which you would not be surprised to hear. This is a story of the Telegraph today. Downing Street appears to have dropped its target of getting the first Rwanda migrant deportation flights off this spring. Apparently, Rishi Sunak spoke and refused 4 times to say whether the target would be met.
Well, Victoria Atkins, who's the health secretary, so she's doing the media rounds the weekend. So she was asked about this, and she said, no, everything is still intact. We'll definitely be getting a flight off in the spring. Victoria, it is the fucking spring.
Yeah.
In fact, the spring is nearly over. You know, you've cut a fucking difficult timescale for yourself here.
This will be the new Tories and their fucking new season, right? Yeah. Because they'll claim that it's not spring, it's not summer until fucking July or something.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, oh yeah, we'll definitely get them off in the spring.
Yeah.
Fuck right.
Did you see that story in the Sun today about the guy who came here illegally, he was smuggled out of the Congo.
Oh yeah.
Came here illegally, fucking came across on a boat, yeah. And then was deported, or right. was ordered to be deported,
yeah.
waged this massive campaign, stood outside the Home Office with big signs saying, migrants are not criminals.
Right.
Well, he wasn't at the time, but he is now, because
right.
he's just been done for fucking rape.
Isn't this the same guy that was dragged off a plane?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
this is the people, or there are yeah. fuckwits on the plane yeah. who said, oh no, leave him alone. Let him fucking stay here, right?
Yeah.
And all these fucking do-gooders, I presume they must have been going to Tuscany or something, all these guys, you know, champagne socialists. So the fucking, the detention cops had yeah. to drag him off the plane and let him fucking go, basically.
Oh,
and then it turns out that he raped a 15-year-old
Well, no, no, he went, after
he got dragged off the plane.
Yeah, there's two people got dragged off the plane. One was an existing rapist.
Yeah.
This one was also dragged off a plane because all the passengers and the crew went, no,
leave him alone.
But he wasn't a rapist then.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But he went on to rape. But
then after he was released, he then went on to commit rape. Fucking unbelievable. Yeah.
And here's the thing, right? So if you take that bloke, Abdul Idizi,
Azidi,
the Clapham attacker, chemical attacker, right?
Two-faced.
Now, he was allowed to stay. So he put in three applications, all turned down. Then he committed a sex offence.
Yeah.
He sexually assaulted a woman.
Right.
And after that, he was allowed to stay because of the sex offence.
Right.
Because he was from Afghanistan. And he said, well, now that I'm a convicted sex offender, if I go back to Afghanistan, I'm going to be persecuted.
Right.
So we go, oh, fair enough. Then. Also,
did he become a fucking Christian as well?
Yeah, yeah. Of course he did. So what they're doing, they're prioritising the safety of Afghan women over the safety of British women.
Yes.
They're saying, we can't send him back because he'll get persecuted, right. So he'll have to stay here. But his mere presence puts women in danger. Right. He's a fucking sex attacker.
Yeah.
He's a sex assaulter. It's mad that committing a sex offence will get you to stay in prison. Yes. Fucking
also,
wonderful.
Also, you don't get deported unless you've actually spent more than a year in prison. And he was given a suspended sentence of less than a year. So therefore, because he didn't spend any time in prison, he wouldn't have been deported anyway.
Yeah.
It's a fucking joke. What about the other fucking great story this week about the illegal migrant business?
Uh-huh.
These five, I think, members of a Pakistani fucking smuggling gang who basically were filing all sorts of you know, fake fucking
Benefits.
No, not the benefits. No, this is another gang. The benefits gang who went off with
54 million
before the fucking Home Office actually spotted it, right? No, this lot were actually smuggling people into the country, but smuggling them in legally, applying for visas, getting work visas for people that didn't fucking exist, selling them to people who wanted them in Pakistan, and bringing people in. And not one of them was fucking deported at the end of it. And they don't even know how many people they brought in, but they think it was probably dozens, possibly hundreds of people who have come here illegally. It's unreal.
Fucking hell.
It's out
of fucking control.
Yeah. That. Now, we should finish up with a bit of Trump and Biden, because there's a couple of great Biden stories today. One, he came out last night and said, you know, the Israelis are going to have to be told, you got to keep out of Haifa. Don't hit Haifa. Now,
Haifa
is in fucking Israel, you stupid old cunt. He obviously doesn't mean Haifa. He means probably somewhere in Palestine.
Rafa.
But he said Haifa. Right. Oh, second story from Biden is that he believes, he says, that his uncle, who was Second Lieutenant Ambrose J. Finnegan, who apparently has got his name on a war memorial in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Biden comes out and says, I think he was eaten by cannibals.
Oh, God. That's racist, isn't it?
He says he flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back. When I went down there, they checked and found some parts of the plane. So maybe he just fucking died and disappeared in the jungle. Why would you assume he got eaten by fucking cannibals?
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's kind of racist, isn't it? And don't forget, you remember when, what was he called him? What did he call Rishi Sunak?
Rashid Sunak.
And he said something, this is a press call. The new Prime Minister of Britain is Rashid Sunak.
Yeah.
And then he looks at the guy and goes, go figure. As if, fucking hell, yeah. It's an Asian.
That's a weird name, you know.
Well, it was more that he's a man of colour. Who can fancy that, a man like that as a prime minister?
Oh, my God.
Fucking hell.
But the fucking the Trump thing is hilarious as well, because, you know, he came out of fucking the court the other day, went up to Harlem, and everyone in Harlem was fucking chanting his name. You know, this is the guy who's supposed to be a Republican, who they're not supposed to like, they're not supposed to vote for him, but they all fucking love him.
Do you know what's great about him? He came out of the court the other day and denounced the judge. Said you've got to stop denouncing
him. Yeah,
came out and denounced the judge again. Stop campaigning. He basically stands outside the court and says, "Vote for me."
Yeah, yeah. Well, have you seen his new campaign video? Campaign video is all about him being fucking taken to court. Yeah. Brilliant.
But what I liked about him is that, I think it was 2 days ago, he came out of the court and he's basically standing in the street with all these crowds around him, people shouting, and he's sort of no, you're wrong about that. Let me explain to you. And he's just sort of having this street debate with all these people, and you know, not necessarily agreeing with them, but this fucking guy can talk to people, you know.
And he goes over to the cops and goes, "I love you guys," and they all shake his hand because they love him as well. Because he went when that police officer was shot dead at a traffic stop, he went to his fucking funeral, and then he spoke to the widow. Biden came into New York and to raise money with Clinton and Obama, didn't go anywhere near the fucking cops.
Exactly right,
and that's where he's going to get it wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, and I love that in court, theatrically falling asleep.
Yeah.
He just keeps falling asleep.
Exactly right. Fucking hilarious stuff. Anyway, we've come pretty much to the end of yet another episode.
Yeah, we have.
But I know we've said this before, but I think we're definitely edging closer to doing
Well, you and I are going to have different routines fairly soon, which should be much more amenable to us managing to get a show together. We promise you, we're going to do it.
We will. We will definitely do it before the summer, as the tourists.
You know who you are, and we miss you. We all need to have a drink.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely right. See you later.
Cheers. Fuck off.
Fuck off.